We want to welcome everyone joining us by television. It is so good having you with us. And we pray that God will do something special right in that campus. It's been an exciting, exciting year. It's been a great summer. I hope you had a chance to chill out and relax. September is like the first of the year for so many of us because kids and grandkids go into school. And so it's good in September to get focused on the call of God again in our lives and our purpose. Let's just pray together. Father, I pray right now that your presence would be upon us. I pray that each person here would know the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of you. Guide me as I speak today. I pray that you'd help me, that Father, the things that I say today will go deep within the hearts of each person. Father, we pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, let me find my message now somewhere on my iPad. I want to talk today about the anointing of God. If you've been raised up in church, they often talk about something, the anointing. And if someone is preaching and they're like really passionately going, they'll say, ooh, the anointing was upon that guy today. And when you study the word, the anointing, at first I kind of thought, well, okay, well, how do I get anointed and how do I stay anointed? And the Bible says the anointing breaks the yoke, which means whatever thing has got you in bondage, whatever thing is holding you captive, maybe it's an addiction, maybe it's a way of thinking. For example, low self-worth, or just don't feel like you could ever amount to much. That anything that would be a yoke, anything that would hold you under its control, the Bible says the anointing will break that yoke, that thing that is tying you, holding you back. And so I got fascinated by this, and years ago I began to study the anointing in the Old Testament, and I found out there's an anointing, or the anointing is God's presence in a special way would be upon the king, which was true, upon the prophet to foretell the direction for the country, and upon the high priest to go before God and with sacrifices to get forgiveness for people every day. But then when I went into the New Testament, I had a bit of a problem with the word, because in, like, for example, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says that Jesus was the anointed one and that he was anointed. And that then I began to think, well, if Jesus is the anointed one and he's on the inside of us, well, then what anointing do we get in the New Testament? Because there was a kingly, there was an anointing to be a king. There was an anointing to be a high priest. There was an anointing to be a prophet. But after that, nobody's talked about. I mean, read the Bible. You maybe have three people at the most in every book that God is using. And everybody else, you don't hear a thing about them. It's like they don't exist. It's like they don't matter. But when you come over to the New Testament, something very powerful begins to present itself that Christians have grown too familiar with. And that is that it says that your young men, all of them are going to see visions. Your old men, all of them are going to dream dreams. Well, in the Old Testament, usually only the prophet or the king had any kind of direction or vision or dream from God. And everybody else just followed them. Today in our world, we find many people who actually want a prophet to tell them what to do and prophesy over them and give them a word from God as though that's the direction they need. But actually in the New Testament, it teaches us in Romans chapter 8 that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, just a minute. In the Old Testament, nobody heard from the Spirit of God except the prophet and the king and the high priest. But in the New Testament, every person here that has given their life to Jesus Christ, you get direction from him. He will guide you in every area of your life. In fact, you don't need someone to come in and give you direction like so many New Testament Christians desire. You literally need to be aware of what the Bible calls on the inside of you and I, this still small voice that he will lead you with. And when you become very aware that he leads you with what the Bible calls the inward witness. If you go to your Bible and you look up the word witness, you will find that all through the word, it talks about Holy Spirit being a witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Things like the Apostle Paul saying that I was going to go in this direction, but Holy Spirit just kind of forbade me. Other times he'd say, it seems good to me and the Holy Spirit that we do this way. And it seems this remarkable relationship between a person and Holy Spirit who's on the inside of us as a believer. Now, what's interesting about this is that so many Christians today and so many denominations are continually looking for direction from somebody else. And they'll say something like, well, you know, I wish God would give me a dream, or could God give me a vision, or could someone else get a vision and a dream for my life? And we're so hungry from direction for God. You know, in 1994, Sally and I knew that God had called us to Springs Church. We had prayed about it. We had sought God about it. It was not an easy decision. And we said, okay, we will. And right after that, before I even started, so we started here July 17th, 1994. So from about January to July, okay, as we were walking this thing out, I had four different men who were men of renown in my world, great pastors, who called me up and told me that I had missed God. Now, one of them even told me, as they laid hands and prayed over me, that with five other pastors from the city, they said, you know, this is not God's best for your life, and this church will not grow. But the next one that you pastor will. So he said, well, Leon, that doesn't make sense. You're telling me. And so I guess we're still waiting for this church to grow. And so I have learned over the years that when people feel like they have a word from God for you, you be very, very careful. Right after that, a great pastor friend in my life told me God had called me to Mexico, and he even knew the hospital that I was going to be heading up because I was a former paramedic. Someone else told me I was called to a city called Melfort, Saskatchewan. Nothing against Melfort, Saskatchewan, but God had not called me to Melfort, Saskatchewan. Two other churches said they had voted with their membership, and it was unanimous. They had voted me in as their pastor. I said, I haven't even told you. I'm looking for a pastorate. So all of these things were going on. And if you want to talk about misdirection, I would have an opportunity to miss God. Now Sally, she is such a sweet. She never was raised in religion. You know, her family knew God. And so anytime I'd say, well, you know, someone said this, she goes, who cares? And I say, but sweetie, you don't understand. Like, this person is an incredible man of God. And she goes, who cares? What do you and I feel? And I said, well, we both. And she was really good for me at that time when all of this misdirection was coming our way. Sally gets a hand on that one. And, you know, a few years later, as Springs exploded from 200 to 300 people to thousands that were coming to church, and we were lining up, just parking cars and getting people in the door. I remember sitting before God one day in the quietness after all the three services were done. It was just me in the auditorium, and I just said, God, why didn't you just tell me and show me a picture of this? Like, it would have been really cool, you know, if back in early 1994 when I was stressing out and worried about what God's direction was for my life and am I supposed to be the next pastor here and is this where you're calling us, the city, Winnipeg, for Sally and I? Wouldn't it just been cool if you could have just, like, given us a dream or something, like, showed us something about this? And it was just waiting in his presence. You know, I just sense, like, whenever I hear God talking to me, I never hear a voice. It comes up from within, like an inner witness. And God just so clearly said to me, I need you to hear me. I need you to get direction from me and not allow anyone else in your world to mess with the things I've directed you to do. And as long as you and Sally hear me and are in agreement on what I've called you to do, you go do it. You stop waiting for some man or woman or prophet or high priest or king or whoever they think they are to give you direction for the things that are ahead in your life. And I want to say the same thing for you, is that when you are wondering about, God, what do I do? When you are wondering about what's the direction for this business, you singles, you know, should I marry this guy? The Bible very clearly says the predominant way in the New Testament that God leads his people is through something called the inner witness. Now, we have noticed that he does give dreams and visions. They're very rare. You know, one lady walked into our church and she saw angels every day. Angels came and talked to her every day. And she was sure it was God. I said, it's not God. She said, well, why not? I said, because Jesus never saw angels every day. The Apostle Paul never saw angels every day. None of the disciples saw angels every day. So I think you're being a little bit fooled here and deceived. Well, she didn't like that, so she left. But everybody's looking for some kind of a supernatural direction in their life. But it's very clear that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, another thing the Word of God teaches us in the New Testament is that peace should be the umpire of your decisions. Someone right now was thinking, you know, should I do this with the business? Should I change my job, leave my career for this opportunity? Well, if you have learned to study God's word, spend time in prayer, there's what the Bible calls an inner witness. And it literally means that you'll have peace about doing that. So you begin to go in that direction. And even though you've got butterflies because it's kind of new and there's kind of a adrenaline charged feeling on the inside of you, as you begin to go in that direction, there is a peace. And peace is your umpire. In other words, an umpire makes the decisions. He makes the calls on every sporting game. And if someone says foul, but he doesn't call a foul, it's not a foul. So an umpire is the one who directs the flow of a sporting event. The umpire for your life, directing the events of your marriage, your job, your kids, etc., will be this inner peace. Business people will sometimes call it a gut feeling. And that, you know, I just didn't get a good gut about this guy that we hired. So we didn't hire him. Good for you. Because even people who've not given their lives to Christ, they are a spirit being and they have a certain amount of sensing that goes on. When you give your life to Jesus Christ and his presence comes within us, he does not want you to miss anything. And he will lead you by still waters. He will lead you in your job and he'll do it with a sense of peace. So anytime you don't have peace, in fact, the opposite will be true. You'll feel like, on the inside. Like, I just don't feel good about this. I don't feel good. Be very careful because the presence of God will guide you in the affairs of every individual one of us will be guided specifically by him. Now in John chapter 10, verses 1 to verse 10, it's got a number of verses about this, and two of the verses say that my sheep know my voice. Now, I've never heard a voice. Here it is talking about this spiritual voice or this inner witness. And so this inner witness, if you continue to follow it, you'll notice you can hear it very clearly. And it says, and I call my sheep by name. Jesus is talking here, and he's teaching us that you, whatever your name is, he will lead you specifically for you in the affairs that you have ahead of you. Business issues, family issues. You know, maybe you've got a daughter-in-law and things aren't going good and you're having a chat. Well, we really need to talk to her about something. And you say, I don't feel good about that. Let's just leave that alone. Go with your inner witness. From family issues, even with kids, raising kids, I would pray each day over each one of my children, and I still do. Now I'm praying over my son-in-laws and my daughter-in-law and my grandkids. Each day, I just pray over them, just speaking the word over them. And sometimes, as I'm praying for someone, I'll just seem to stop on one of them, and I'll just stay there and just pray God's blessing over them. And it's amazing how while you're there and you start thinking about them, thoughts will rise up to you that you haven't thought about before, like, I need to go out and just have a coffee with them and just chat and just talk. And it's God directing me in the busyness of our world. We can forget that God's direction is for relationships. God's direction is for finances. There's been times when, as a church, we had to deal on a piece of property or we're looking at something and it was a no-go, but I knew deep on the inside this was God trying to get us this so that we could continue to touch the city that we were talking about. And it's amazing. As all the signposts said, stop, stop. But inside I went, no, that we would not back down. We just would continue to engage. We would continue to move forward. And all of a sudden, something would happen that just caused it. And so I would even go by what I sensed on the inside of me, even more clearer than what was going on the outside. Now, this becomes a real blessing in your life because you begin to walk in a peace. You begin to know that God will never stop directing me. A friend of mine, well, it wasn't a friend, a guy I met because we were interviewing him for the Leon Show, wrote a book called When God Was Silent. And so in the green room afterwards, and my job was to interview him. So in the green room after, he says, well, so what did you think? I said, you know, cool book. I'm not want to calm down. He goes, well, no, what do you think about it? I said, like, really? You want to talk about it? He goes, yeah. I said, God is never silent. Well, he's been silent in my life. I said, what do you mean he was silent in your life? Well, there's times I pray and I don't receive an answer. There's times I ask for direction and he's not talking to me. And in those silent times, I had to learn that God was withdrawing himself so that I could learn something. And I said, well, could you give me a verse for that? Well, of course, he couldn't give me a Bible verse for that because he had learned this through experience. And now his experience is more important than the Bible verse. Never let your experience change the direction of God. And so I looked at him. I said, well, here's how I look at God. I said, my car has a radio. And I said, the radio's always sending, but I've got the stop button. And if I want it off, there's nothing coming into the car. If I can't find the radio station, then it's just a bunch of fuzz. But it's amazing how that radio signal is always coming to the car. It's my receiver in the car that if I go, oh, guess what? All the radios in the world have stopped because there's nothing coming into my car. Would you feel that way? No. You would think there's a problem with my radio receiving the signal. And so I just shared a few thoughts with him. I don't know how he felt about it, but I have learned that God will never be silent. Never will he stop guiding you. Never. You are too special. You are too important. And not only is direction flowing from him to you always, but his peace is always there. His joy is always there. And when you begin to trust that God will lead me, then you'll no longer jump on any bandwagon. You know, some people can be very persuasive as to what you should do and the things for your career and what church you should go to and what's wrong here and there. Some people, they just don't stop. And if you listen long enough, you start to believe that. I have learned that I need to think for myself. Have you ever had a friend tell you about another friend? And that friend, oh, you know, blah, 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 and you begin to wonder about them. You begin to not feel good about you. I don't feel good about them anymore either. Yeah, that's because you've been listening to the naysayers. Bible says, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. When the scornful get together around that coffee shop, your seat should be empty now. Because what's said in that coffee clutch is what's determining what you believe, what you think, and the decisions that you make. Why don't you think for yourself for once? Just make a decision that I'm going to rise up. I'm a smart man, I'm a smart woman, and I'll make my own decisions. And I reserve judgment until I get a chance to meet that person, hang out with that person. And I am not accepting your judgment. When we begin to think for ourselves, it gives God the opportunity to direct us. Other than that, your buddy Bo is Holy Spirit because you're getting direction from him. And your great friend Sally Ann is determining the direction of how you feel about your friendships. So she's the Holy Spirit for you. Or some little group that you're with is sure they know what's going on. And you think for yourself. Because when you decide, God, you're going to lead me in this. God, you're going to guide me. You're going to find direction over things in your life. And it's going to be a wonderful, freeing day. As you stand up, throw your shoulders back and go, God and I, we know where we're going. God will guide me. I do not need some of the crazy things that go on in the Christian world to direct me. But this inner witness, this is Holy Spirit on the inside of me. And over the years of my life, I've had to make a lot of decisions. You know that. Many of you have been here for years. As the senior pastor, as we look for the direction, what is God saying? What is God doing? And if you look over the last 23 years of what's been happening, you'll notice incredible things just keep happening year after year. The gospel goes forth in more languages and more places. He's never going to stop directing me. And it gives me this incredible peace that just keep serving God and preaching his word and raising up leaders and doing what we can to win those who don't know Christ as their Savior. And he'll never be silent. He'll never say, oh, we're not going to talk to Leon for a couple of years. You know, let's help him grow up. No, That's not even a Bible verse. And he's not going to do it to you. You could look at me and say, well, Leon, you're the pastor of a church. I mean, like, that's, no, your family is crucial. Did you know that God wants to bless your family to the 1,000th generation? He wants your kids to know him, your grandkids to know him. He wants every generation when you die. You know, that's interesting that Timothy, an amazing young man in the Bible, that Paul says this. He says to him, you have the faith of your grandma. And then your mother. In other words, the faith that kept this kid so strong that he literally was written about in the Bible came from a grandmother. Come on, you grandmothers out there, you grandfathers out there, don't you dare think for a minute that your faith in God isn't going to be able to move down generations, and that sense and that faith that they watch in you. Stop giving up. Stop thinking, well, we're just hoping and praying. Just serve God. Reach out to the people around you. Pray with fervor. Get into God's word. I don't care where things are right now. I don't care, well, I've got a child that's running away. Every person has to make their own decision about how they're going to live their lives when they get to a certain age. So pray over them, but don't ever back away from your faith, because I'm telling you, it's not over yet, and there are years ahead for that child, that family. Believe God that your family's going to serve him. Believe God that they're going to sense direction from God. Believe God the right people are going to cross their path. Don't ever, ever, ever think that God will stop talking, guiding, leading you. And don't ever stop thinking. Amen. Give Jesus a hand. And don't ever stop thinking or believing that God is guiding and leading your kids. I think one day I'm going to just write a little book about all of the families in the last two decades or so that I have, so whose kids have maybe just gone astray or picked some crazy way, and how someone walked into their path and how things got changed and who spoke into their world. And then they gloriously came back to Christ on fire for him. The promise of God's word is that the generations of your home will be blessed. A part of that blessing will be the direction of God, following God. And when they're off and when things aren't going well, he'll give you the wisdom as how to handle each of those situations, because it'll be different in each situation. But don't you ever lose this trust that his presence is upon me, that my future is secure, that my family will serve Jesus, and that I can't organize that on my own, but if I'll seek him, if I'll pursue him with my life, pray and listen to him, then the Bible teaches us that his presence will go before us, his presence is behind us as a rear guard, and that his presence is upon the people that we pray about. So this message, I simply want to engage within you a hope. Learn to listen to that kind of gut feeling. The Bible teaches repeatedly that where you will sense God's guidance isn't in your reasoning. Reasoning will always try to kind of like, I don't agree with that. You know, but you'll sense something in here. And women, you're usually better than us guys. I don't know why that is. It bugs me. Sally always seems to hear it first, always seems to sense something first. And then I go, okay, I'll pray about that too. And then sure enough, who cares who's the most sensitive? But as if you're a married couple, learn to talk to each other. And as you sense direction, things about a son, a daughter, I just think we need to just step in and help out here. Or God will direct you in the most little things and in the greatest things. He's so concerned about you that the Bible says he knows every sparrow that died during the talk that I just shared. Okay, he knows the number on your head, of hairs on your head. So he's trying to show us that you might think God doesn't care about the little things of your life, but he does. He cares, and he wants to bless. He wants to guide you in the pathways of righteousness and blessing. I'm challenging you, and we'll close right here, that when you ever hear the word, there's a witness, it means Holy Spirit is the witness within you that, yes, this is the direction that God has for you. Go by this peace, the umpire of your soul, and stop reasoning everything out. Reasoning is powerful, okay, but a lot of times reasoning can't pick the right direction. Okay, last example. You've got two job opportunities. Both are equal. Both have the same amount of money. Both seem to have the same, everything is the same, and you can't make a decision. So you've used your reasoning. You've made a list of the pros, the cons, and there really isn't a discernible way to say this opportunity is better than that opportunity. That's, so, and I, That's where Holy Spirit on the inside of you, as you begin to examine this one, you just say, you know, I just don't feel as good about this one. But whenever I go over to talk with these people and interview with these people, whenever I pray about this one, I just get this joyful excitement about over here. Then that's an example of God will guide you. Now, I can even give you examples where the opportunity that I took was not as good as the other one. In fact, the best opportunity I didn't feel good about. And I had to give up things there for this, but I knew this was what God was leading me in. There's so many ways. I just want you to be aware that this inner witness is the presence of God guiding you deep within you. And as you learn to have quiet times, as you learn to seek Him, this umpire called peace will guide you in all the issues of your life. Father, thank you for every person here. I pray that this message would just go deep within them. That, Father, they would understand that to be directed by you, you know the future, you know everything. I pray that they would begin to trust. They'd learn to just pray till they find that quiet time and begin to go with what you're directing them to deep on the inside. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.